Cards that I've shown. Just let me hear with what I dealt. Got all the time to wonder why. Why I was a fool. I don't deserve another try. But girl, I'm begging you, can you find it in your heart? Can you find your way to see? You can light up my dark if you come back, baby, to me. Can you find it in your heart?
Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You are listening to episode number 39. I recorded this week with Little Larry Healy, a local musician based out of Prescott, but with roots going back through the R&B and soul scene for decades. He started as a young kid playing in his dad's band in Gary, Indiana, and has been plugging away ever since. He's a great guy to talk with and a great guy to listen to play, both solo with Little Larry. He is the house musician for Jersey Lily Saloon in Prescott's Whiskey Row. It is a historic bar and saloon up top above where the Palace and Matt's Saloon and all that good stuff is. It is the home of the only outdoor balcony that overlooks the row, a great spot people love to go in. And watch the activities, whether it be a parade, a concert, or a rally on the square, or just hang out in the Arizona sunshine. Jersey Lily Saloon on Montezuma is where we recorded today. Just before Larry took the stage on his solo gig, he performs there every Saturday and Sunday. So please go out and check him out, or look at littlelarryandthedrive.com, which is the website for his band, of course, Little Larry and the Drive. They play all over the place, in the Verde, down into Phoenix, and of course, everywhere around Prescott, Arizona. Larry has a solo CD that came out a few weeks back. It is Little Larry Diverse Cuts, a good mixture of various music, some originals, some R&B, some reggae thrown in, and even a gospel tune on there somewhere. The intro music was from that CD, so check them out on CD Baby or iTunes, where you can download either individual tracks or the whole CD, Diverse Cuts. Better yet, check out Larry live and in person, and you can pick up a CD from him directly, have him give him a little signature on it for an autograph, and go home with some of the best music around for you to listen to all day long. Now, if any of you are regular listeners to the Mile High Show, you know that we typically post each and every Monday on milehighshow.com. We give announcements to where we're recording and where you could download the podcast on our Facebook page as well, Mile High Show. And, of course, iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher is our online homes for podcasts. So please visit those spots, download, give us a rating, give us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a message to our contact page. Now, having said that, we typically strive to download each and every Monday. You may have noticed we did not do so last Monday. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is my main vocation is that of a photojournalist, a photographer and writer here in the area, and we've just been really, really swamped. So that took part of it. I did attempt to do a solo podcast. I actually sat down and recorded a couple of attempts, and I'll tell you what I was gearing it around was the 14th anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. And there's a couple reasons why I didn't post. I shouldn't even say mainly. These are the reasons. I spent many years, decades, as a photojournalist in the Western United States, primarily the San Francisco Bay Area, and I covered a lot of different events, a lot of different incidents, news happenings, Some were great news, some were bad news, some were downright tragedies over the years. Sometimes those are difficult to revisit. Now, having said that, in 2001, I was no longer in the business. I had taken a little sabbatical from journalism and went into a couple of different fields, primarily the security and investigation field, and did that for a number of years. And in 2001, that's what I was doing. Now, a lot of our clients bolstered their security, their coverage, their surveillance after 9/11. So I was deeply involved with that on the West Coast. Fortunately, none of those measures needed to be implemented. They were preventative measures only. So some of the high tech and business clients I had in Silicon Valley were trying to strengthen and fortify their security, and I helped doing some of that, supplying manpower and consultation. But I was on the outskirts. I was not involved in journalism at that time for a couple of years, for a few years. So I thought I would do a little podcast reflecting on where I was that fateful morning, what happened, and some of the things I and my friends and my associates dealt with. But what it became evident is I was making 9/11 a horrible tragedy, to say the least, about me and about what I felt. And over the past couple of weeks, I listened to several podcasts, some other news segments, and some recollections and memorials and honors ceremonies and things. And I realized, like many knuckleheads do, that this event was not about me. It was about thousands of other people that were affected directly. Family members, coworkers, brothers in arms who felt that tragic event personally and to the bone. And I realized I had absolutely nothing to add. So my efforts and my attempts to honor that day were futile, and I there was no need for it. So having said that, let's get on with this show. I will say this, though. I listened to a podcast with a gentleman by the name of Chris Italia, who is a volunteer EMT at Ground Zero the day of the attacks. He was also a journalist, is why he ended up volunteering as an EMT before the attacks, as a way to embed himself with those folks he was writing about. He was on the crime beat and some other things in New York, and he was there. He has done a very limited interviews, but I just Google his name. Chris, C-R-I-S, Italia, I-T-A-L-I-A. And his story was firsthand. It was intense. And after listening to that and like stories from people who were there and witnessed this firsthand, it was painfully evident I had nothing to add. But Chris did have one suggestion that each and every one of us can do. And that is support those folks that protect us, those first responders. I work hand in hand with local PD, local law enforcement, and of course, local fire. Let them know you appreciate the work they do. They are often attacked and verbally abused and otherwise abused for what they do as being part of the system and blah, blah. And you know what? I am not a political person, nor do I try to be, do I want to be. But I do appreciate the work that those first responders do. Chris had a mention on a couple of interviews. I did listen to him. He goes, you know what? If you see these guys at the grocery store when they're on duty, give them a thanks, give them a handshake, let them cut in front of you in line. That way they can get back on the road, back to the firehouse, back on the streets as soon as possible. Little things like that. Let them know you appreciate them. Our very own Chino Valley Fire District, Central Yavapai, and Prescott Fire Departments are perfect examples of guys and gals out there taking care of us. So while, of course, the 9/11 tragedies bring a lot of memories, both firsthand and collective, that aren't pleasant, let's remember the pleasant ones and give those guys and gals a high five, a handshake, a smile, a word of thanks when you bump into our first responders in and around town. And that's something each and every one of us can do. So having said all that, let's get down with little Larry Healy at Jersey Lilies. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for sitting down. We got a few minutes. First thing I want to do is let folks know where they can listen to you, obviously, live up and down the square. You're here at Jersey Lilies every Sunday?
Every Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon.
Saturday and Sunday afternoon. Yeah, solo games or with the
solo.
Drive?
Solo.
Okay, what times?
4 to 7. And
I'm going to juice you a little bit more on there. I had you down.
4 to 7, and usually or sometimes on Sunday I'll play longer if the crowd's up and having a good time. So
now you've been, how long have you been playing here? This has been a regular gig for you for a while.
I think it was about 12 years now.
Oh my goodness, it's been that long.
Yeah.
Now you you are no stranger to the mics and the stage. You've been playing for a little bit here.
Yeah, 30 some years.
No, well, I was going to say 15 years because you started when you were 15 and you can't be a day over 30, right?
52, but.
52.
Yeah, but I started back in Indiana.
Was that home for the Healy clan?
Yeah, just outside of Gary and
Jacksonville.
Yeah. Grew up a Jackson 5 fan.
Yeah. A neighbor. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I had a band, and we'd rent out this hall, and we'd have our friends' bands and stuff would show up, and we'd have charge $2 a piece to get in and just do that. And then
now,
my dad.
How old were you when this was going? When did you first start playing?
I was 15 years old then, but my first real, quote gig was a bar that my dad was in a band. He played music too, and their drummer, I was started off as a drummer. Their drummer couldn't make it one night. And so he said, "Hey, you want to play?" I was nervous.
15-year-old sneaking in the back door of a bar.
I was 16, yeah. And it was snowing that day, and I wasn't allowed to stay in there on break. So I'm standing outside on the breaks, freezing my butt off. But, and I was so scared because, he was playing in a country band, and I... Yeah.
This is your dad's band playing country
Western
stuff?
Yeah, at that time, he was, so I was a little nervous because I didn't know much country music, so, but.
Now, what was your band playing? You said you got to get some buddies from high school and stuff?
Yeah, high school.
What were you playing?
We were playing rock, AC/DC and, that kind of stuff,
That's kind of a good switch, man.
Yeah.
Some Hank Williams one day, Bon Scott the next.
Exactly.
Yeah. And drumming, is that what you started with?
I started that. I played drums for, about 5 years, maybe not even that long.
Now, you're across the board, though. You play keyboards and obviously guitar is
guitar.
What we're used to seeing you.
Guitar and then... And I play bass in the band, my band. So, and of course, singing is my main thing.
Is that your front man? Is that where is that your comfort zone?
Yeah. I just I love singing. Singing's my thing, and that's I think I'm best at as far as all the instruments I play and stuff.
Now I haven't gotten a chance to hear you a whole lot. I've caught you at various spots here solo. I've caught you with the drive a couple times. You really put a good spin, a different spin on some of the old standards. You really make them your own.
Right.
But you go deep into a lot of R&B, some soul, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
First question, what's a white boy from Indiana doing playing Motown? How'd that start?
Well, my dad, again, he was playing when I was real young. He was playing in a soul band back, and they'd practice in our basement. And those guys were so good. They had this lead singer that was just amazing. And I would sit there. I remember I was 5 years old sitting on the basement step just watching, sat there and watched. And I fell in love with it.
Just soaked it in, huh?
Oh, yeah. And that's my favorite kind of music, yeah. You know, 60s R&B stuff.
Now, was that what Dad did as a... Was that his vocation? Was this something he did for fun and from extra bucks on the side? Or?
From time to time. Sometimes that's all he did, and then other times it was just, you know... Well, here's a story I'll tell you. I was the house band at the Palace before it turned into a restaurant. This is in the 80s. And... He showed up. He was living down in the valley. He came up to see me and watch the band, and you know, I was playing 5-6 nights a week. He goes, Larry, you remember when I told you? He always told me to treat this like a part time job. He says, remember when I told you, you know, treat this like a part time job? He said, screw that, man. You're doing great. You know, and the encouragement from my dad, that's pretty cool.
So how'd you end up from Indiana to AZ? Well,
we moved out here the first time in 70, moved to Scottsdale. And then
Scottsdale in the 70s, man.
Yeah.
You've seen some changes then.
Oh, yeah.
what was the valley like back then? How old were you? You're 52 now, so...
I was like six, seven years. Yeah, something like that.
What do you remember about much?
I remember... Some stuff. I remember there wasn't a whole lot of city.
Wide open.
Yeah,
it was like walking into a John Wayne movie.
It was all real compressed. You know, there wasn't, I mean, Bell Road, that didn't even exist back then, you know. But we stayed down there for a while. We came up here in 75 briefly, then moved back to Indiana. I graduated there, and then my parents moved out here the day after I graduated.
Let me know, what do you mean, 81?
81, exactly.
Okay, I'm 84.
Yeah.
Class 84.
Yeah, there you go. Then after that, I just, you know, I stayed there and it started snowing one day. I said, nah, I'm gone. I'm going to Arizona. Yeah. So then I started playing here in 82 in Prescott.
You've been in Prescott area since? Primarily?
I mostly lived down in Phoenix, but just drove up here and played. But then I played all over Phoenix as well, but this... Prescott, for some reason, I've always been able to keep steady work. It's always worked out for me.
Now, from early mid 80s through now, playing, and then 12 years here at Jersey Lily, you've seen some changes to the local music scene.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I've been out here 11 years, 12 years, something like 04.
Right.
I don't know, 11 years. And it struck me, I knew nothing about this area. When I moved out, work brought me out and ended up quitting that job within a few weeks. Anyway, but I was blown away by the vitality of downtown. I knew nothing about Prescott. Now, since then, now I'll watch movies and stuff and I'll hear it mentioned and done a little homework and just talking to folks, especially through this podcast, and learning a lot. But I was blown away at the level of musicianship that you could see 7 nights a week here. And then I have people telling me, oh, no, you don't know. You should have been here 15, 20 years ago. So what was it like when you came up?
I'll tell you, I knew some of the guys that were playing mostly in the 70s and kind of trickled into the 80s a little bit, but then they, you know, either stopped playing or whatever, gotten older or whatever. And there were some really good musicians back then. And I think kind of was a lull there for a while. But then all of a sudden it just boomed again. There is a lot of great musicians in this town. I mean, you know, far better than me probably.
Well, who does Larry like to go watch? If you're going to go watch somebody play, you're going to go listen to somebody. What are some of the local names?
I think that Drew Hall, he plays with the Cheek Tones. Plus he does a lot of other stuff. He's a great guitar player. Good singer, too. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't get out very often because I'm always playing. But I mean, I guess that's a good thing. I guess, but there's a lot of guys. You know, Nick that plays in my band, he does a solo thing here on Tuesdays or Thursdays, and he's going to start doing a duo on Tuesdays, and he's just amazing. So, and watching him do his solo thing, he does great. He just does an acoustic thing.
That's one thing I enjoy about because I don't. Through my work, I'm in and out of a lot of these places for work. I pop in, grab a couple snapshots, get some pictures, and I'm out. When I started doing this podcast in, almost been a year now,
I started actually coming into places and hanging out a little bit more.
Right.
And I knew some of the names, knew some of the faces. I do some work with Nick at the radio station.
Right.
But just being able to sit back and enjoy what I was catching at five-minute increments,
right.
Again, blown away. And you can, any night of the week, you pop into anywhere up and down Whiskey Row and hear some great music. On the weekends, all day long, you
yes.
hear on the week, during the afternoons,
right.
some of the spots. Palace has Danny Romero and a couple, and Sky playing.
Right.
You can just kind of walk around and find
yeah.
a first-class musician.
There's guys everywhere, and they're, you know, and every little cubby hole, there's a guy playing somewhere. You know, it's amazing.
What now? Do you primarily stick around town here, and are you living up here now?
Yeah, I live okay. up here.
But you still go back and forth to the valley to play?
Once in a while, I go down there, and we play in Cottonwood, and
yeah.
you know. Wherever, we go about anywhere.
Did you? Was there any point in time when you were doing a lot of traveling? Were you hitting the road a lot, or were you trying to keep it as close to homebound as you could?
I did some, you know, but not like, you know, months at a time.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a couple weeks here and there. And, you know, I mean, we did a lot of that, but you know, not like, you know.
What were some of the any gigs that stick out on the road? I've talked to several musicians and some comics who just have some
right.
great stories about
right.
the road, and others that they're trying to block out of their mind with
yeah.
booze and
dope. Well, I've had those. I played one gig in Winslow one time, and it was three of us in the band, the bartender, and the owner was the only
was
people
it.
In the place. and it was our first time there. I was like, what's going on here? Well, it turned out there was a bar right next door going out of business, and they were selling everything for a penny. Any shot, any drink, anything you wanted, it was a penny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he cleared through his – I mean, the whole town was in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a memorable one.
What are some of the bigger shows you've done? Because this – in Jersey Lilies is a really intimate little spot.
Yeah.
But you get the crowd going. You get them up on their feet.
Yeah.
What do you prefer, a smaller nightclub bar feeling or some of the bigger clubs? What or does it make a difference?
I mean, I've played them all. You know, I really have. I haven't played in arenas. I played
yeah.
a backup, you know, opening act, you
yeah.
know, and I played in front of 10,000 people
Man.
One time, and a couple others that were, you know, 6,000 or whatever. But, you know, and I did all the big clubs down the valley that, you know, were a big thing back in the day. You know, like 300 people,
yeah.
whatever. But, you know, this is, especially now at my age, this is much more my speed.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about chairs flying.
Yeah, and I'm not really, you know, that whole scene is just,
yeah.
you know, it's great. It was great at its time, but, you know, now it's, yeah, I prefer this.
Yeah, through the years, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, the East Bay, and I've shot concerts at, you know, Cal Palace, Candlestick, or which doesn't even exist anymore, Oakland Coliseum, some of the, and they're, you know, they're fun. You feel the energy kind of thing. But as a spectator, as an audience member, as a fan, you might as well put on an album, put on the LP or CD,
right,
and close your eyes and sit in your living room. You're going to get the same experience.
Right.
I really like, especially if it's not something planned, where you kind of stumble into a place,
right?
And you go, "Whoa, who is that?" And
yeah,
five
absolutely.
5 feet from the guy, just
right.
sitting there going, "Man, you could feel it." You could
absolutely.
Really feel it. I enjoy that as a spectator.
More. Sure, yeah. And you know, I'm the same way. You know, I used to go to concerts when I was, you know, in high school and stuff like that. And I don't think I've been to a concert in years. You know, but you know, because it's. You know, I just like to listen to the record, the CD
yeah.
or whatever, you know, the...
You remember the first concert you went to?
Oh, gosh. I was a kid. I mean, I was real little. Who did I see? Oh, I know. This is a story. You know Terry Furlong? He's
yeah.
a musician in town. He used to play with the Grassroots.
Yeah, I know the Grassroots, yeah.
Me and him played... We had a band together for a while. This is a few years back now. And... Well, it just so happens when I was, oh gosh, I think I was, it was 71. I went and saw the Grassroots. Yeah. Terry was on that stage playing. And little did I know, 30 years later, I'd be playing in a band with him.
Yeah. That's neat.
That was really crazy.
First show I ever went to, just to tell you, I'm the youngest of six kids.
Right.
So, when I was 10, my brothers and sisters were junior high and high school. So that's kind of how I absorbed music. And my mom, this is the first concert I ever went to, I went with my mom. And she brought my older brothers and sisters, obviously, and a couple of neighborhood kids. And I want to say it was 76, 77.
Uh-huh.
Right around there. You probably know when it came out. War Galaxy.
Oh,
We saw them at the Circle Star in San Carlos in California.
Yeah.
So the first show I ever go to is this funk show, right. With my mom. But it was great. And over the years, I've seen so many live things, mainly work-related, though.
Right.
I can't remember the last time I had to buy a ticket down. Yeah. Who are some of the now, I love music, can't sing if somebody had a gun to my head. Tried to play an instrument once in third grade, and that lasted about 3 weeks. I don't have the discipline, don't have the patience, but I love music.
Right.
Unfortunately, what that does for a guy like me is I know, I hear about groups, bands, musicians once they've already reached some kind of status.
Sure.
Give me some deep cuts, some people, musicians that... Like the best musicians nobody knows of. Who are some of the folks that you feel educate me? If I, because I love listening to you play. I love hearing you play that old soul, the old R&B.
Right.
And I know the main names, that you hear of, James Brown and everybody else that we all know. Who are some that I need to go and Google and say, okay, this is somebody I got to turn me on to?
Well, I would think the first one, and he actually had a couple big hits. But kind of one of those guys that kind of lost in the shuffle of all the other R&B, the big guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he was big, Johnny Taylor.
Don't know
Johnny Taylor.
Look it up.
He actually did he had a first platinum single ever, and it was Disco Lady. And that's not one of his best best songs, but, I'm not a disco fan. I mean, actually, it's not a disco song. It's a song about disco, but he's probably my favorite singer. The guy what a voice. Yeah. He just had a great voice. And I can't think of anybody.
Well, who are some of your favorites? When you're listening to music that's not your own, who do you turn on?
Well, it just depends on my mood. It's like, here's a good example. Probably my top three songs my favorite songs. My first one is Have You Seen Her by the Shy Lights. Second one is If You Want Blood, You Got It by ACDC. And then I know, that's what I'm saying. And then Tears of a Clown, something like that. And Smokey's my favorite songwriter.
No, we talked about some of the Larry spin you put on really makes some of these covers your own.
Right.
All covers, originals?
Well, I do a couple originals. I got three CDs out now. And
exactly where I was going to go next. You just had one come out recently, right?
Yeah, just in July. And it's available on...
Plug it away.
You can get it on iTunes and Amazon. My second one...
Do you sell them... do you have hard copies when people come see you live?
Yeah, usually. I ran out, so I got to get some more. So, so that's a good thing, I guess. But
because you were running out watching a football game this week. What were you watching?
I was watching the Bears, and then I was at home watching the Cardinals. And by the way, folks, I was late for this interview, and I'm sorry.
I just used these as an excuse to get out of the house. Only today I brought the house with me. Well, I was just looking at the clock. You got to be on at 4. It's a couple minutes away.
Okay.
You got your Facebook page.
Yeah.
Do you operate a website as well, YouTube, anything like that?
I have a website as far as the band. It's LittleLarryAndTheDrive.com. And And then I got, you know, Facebook page as well.
Now, you got a lot of video clips on YouTube under, and I wish I would have wrote it down. Is it your channel? I was going to link to it. It's, doggone it, I was just looking at it this morning. It's an abbreviation, like, have you seen it or something?
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I'll link that on the website as well.
Right. You can obviously go on YouTube and... Every song off of my latest CD is on there. You can watch the. It's not really a video. It's just the information.
It shows. Now you got three out. Three CDs.
Three.
Out now.
The first one I did in 2000. It was a Grammy Award winning producer produced it, Larry Butler, and that one's pretty much all R&B. And second one was more of a mellow, piano kind of stuff. You know, more ballads, that kind of stuff.
That came out with like 08?
That one was 08. And then this one came out in July. That's Diverse Cuts, it's called. And the reason for the name is because it's all over the place. I got a reggae song on there. I got rock tunes. I got some R&B tunes. Got a gospel feel song. You know, all kinds of stuff. It's all over the place.
Good representation of what folks will see when they come see you live, too. Because you can do a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, hey, I'll let you get on stage. I appreciate you taking the time to sit down. Anything else you want to plug? Anything else you want to hit?
Oh, not that I can think of. I think I'm good.
Get out and listen to some local music up and down Whiskey Row and
absolutely.
Out in
Verde. Absolutely.
Now, all self-produced? You're doing these? Because you got a studio in your home, right? A recording?
Yeah.
Is that where you're doing all this production?
Yeah, I did all that, and I had a buddy of mine master it for me. But it's quality. It's not a cheesy, you know.
It sounded good. What I was looking at, and I'll link that too. Lauren McLean did a video on you in 08 when you were coming out with your second CD.
Right.
I don't know if you have it linked to your site or where I got it through YouTube. Very well put together from the Daily Courier when Lauren was there.
Right.
But that was filmed in your home studio, I think.
Right.
And
it
looked pretty nice, man.
Yeah.
You got it all decked out in there. Looks good.
Yeah.
and here I am with my plug and play.
Hey, it works.
They work.
It works.
For me.
That's all you need.
Well, hey, I look forward to. I'm going to record a couple things as you're playing. And thanks again, Larry.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
We'll be listening to you in a few minutes and jump on
Little Larry in the Drive.
And thedrive.com.
Right.
And then hook up with Larry Healy on Facebook and see all his solo stuff as well.
Right.
And better yet, come on down to Whiskey Row and walk in any door and hear some great music.
That's right.
But on Saturdays and Sundays, it's Jersey Lilies. Thanks, Larry.
All right.
Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Man.
Now, Larry had to take the stage, and in walking in to Jersey Lilies was Kevin Skevel, a gentleman I sat down with and interviewed, a harmonica player and business advocate in the Prescott area. So this is my little chat, a very short chat with Kevin before he jumped on stage with Larry and his harmonica. Pick up that mic. What have you been up to?
Oh, working.
We're get that in there nice and close.
Working, back-breaking stuff.
Are you going to be playing harmonica here with Larry today
for a
little bit?
Yeah, I missed last week. I guess he was busier. Sunday was busier than all get out. He played to like 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Crazy.
Well, that was the holiday weekend.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
A lot of folks down
yeah,
here.
I had other plans. So
yeah.
So,
all right, we didn't get a chance to sit down a whole lot with Larry. He was running. Again, he was running late watching football.
Yeah.
I think he had a couple of bucks on the game is what it was.
Could be.
So he won't brag on himself too much. So
yeah.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about Larry? One, how long have you been playing with him?
Been playing with Larry probably 3 years. I came down and started playing with him, and just occasionally would come in and he'd let me sit in on some, and then finally he just said, yeah, you're welcome anytime. And so I kind of became more and more regular.
You guys fit really well playing together.
Yeah.
With your styles, and he's really loose up there while he's, especially during his solo stuff, when he's playing on his own aside from the band. And
yeah.
You two fit really, really well together.
Well, yeah, it's good for him. because, you know, he does the same thing week after week. He plays here endlessly. Yeah. And, you know, the solo stuff week after week after week. And, of course, it's nice to have a little yeah. different something. And the people really enjoy it. Yeah. People come in and they expect to hear the harmonica along with Little Larry. So it's
a perfect mix.
It's cool.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's my regular, it's my musical salvation, has been for years. my regular soul rejoice.
So what else you been up to, man?
No, not much. Just, you know, life's
interesting. I've been
following
some of your stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
And how was the recent art fair stuff for you?
Terrible. I took a picture of one vendor that had stack of import boxes, you know, 5 feet high.
Yeah.
And then they had the guts to mock me, pointing at our old store, and they were just mocking and laughing like this is they're just getting away with the life of Riley.
Give me the synopsis of what the issue is.
Well, the issue is that that we've got special events, and over the years,
special events being like
arts and crafts shows, which are really they're just sales.
The big almost like flea
the 3-day events
they have on
the
square.
The major events we call them. Thank you.
Out here, primarily on the square and around
yes,
the courthouse.
Yeah. And this is county's property, and so the merchants had had identified many, many decades ago that these. An army of out-of-town merchants brought in on what are supposed to be their busiest weekends of the year basically takes their business away. It moves it a different direction. And so they passed a law in 2000 which said that no resale products should be allowed to be sold at these major events.
No resale. So if I want to come in and set up a table with my photography...
Right.
I can sell my pictures of the Verdian.
Yes. It's supposed to be original. It's really supposed to be numbered and hand-signed and so on.
But I can't go to Costco and buy a stack of Ansel Adams calendars and sell them.
Well, unfortunately, you can.
Well,
By law, you can't. Yeah. So they passed a law 15 years ago, which was really passed to protect the downtown merchants from unfair competition. They made it unlawful competition. But then the county has allowed...
They just kind of turn their head?
Has allowed these organizations to continue and ignore this law. And it's devastating to downtown merchants. I mean, we're I don't want to go into personal stuff, but we're fighting to keep our house.
Yeah.
It's that bad. But for no other reason than stepping into a zone that has... in essence, it's part of black market.
Now, what's the county get out of it? You got to, when somebody say, I want to come in and set up a table on one of these.
Right.
I got to buy a little permit.
Well, see, the downtown partnership's in control of all that. Downtown partnership is paid $40,000 by the county to manage all events on the courthouse plaza, and their contract says that they are supposed to enforce the rules and the regulations and the laws as well as adhere to them themselves.
But they can make more money by just getting whoever wants to come in.
They have a contract to lease booths, right, and then Chamber of Commerce and the Mountain Artists Guild and all. The more vendors they have, the more money they make because this is fundraising for them. This is really isn't really about tourism. It's about siphoning tourist money into nonprofit organizations.
In a sense, it's like me setting up my hibachi in front of a barbecue place and selling everything for half price of what the guy inside is doing.
But getting away with it because you say you're doing it as a nonprofit. Yeah.
Well, I've been a nonprofit for years.
Yeah, so
have
I.
Only because I don't know how to run a business.
Yeah. One guy told me one day, I asked him what he did, and he said, I'm a broker. I said, that's great. I said, so am I.
I said,
I'm a broker today than I was yesterday.
Hey, Kevin, good seeing you, man.
Hey, you
go
too, Matt.
I'm going to let some music.
I'm going to let my soul sing for a while. Give me I'm
I'm